We never know when we're going to be the messenger. I don't know what's going through Jonah's head, but I can tell you there's so many times in the course of what I'm trying to accomplish with this ministry that I'm like, ah, broken vessel. And so I think it's worth understanding that this is a partnership, that anytime God intends to use you, whether it's what we're doing right now or just a conversation. I had a really important and meaningful conversation over coffee with a friend yesterday who I hardly see, who's just like, I need to see you. And is going through some stuff, and I just talked to her. That matters as much as what we're doing right here.
Welcome to Study with Friends. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please visit our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Jonah in the search box. You can listen there online, or search us on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right corner to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This week, we continue a series on the book of Jonah. We are talking about what God's patience looked like in this book and what it looks like now in our lives.
Today, we're talking about Jonah. The theme of this book is patience, and I think we're going to just dive right in and talk about it. Go on any page of our website, studywithfriends.org. At the bottom of every page is a search box, and just search Jonah and you'll find this material that we're putting in there for you today. And put some comments in and let us see what you're learning. Let us learn from you too. What do you think caused the Ninevites' response?
Well, in one of the questions that we're going to get to, I was sort of thinking about, what did the Ninevites know about the God of the Israelites?
Mm-hmm.
What I was reading in my Bible Helps told me that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, who was sort of the arch enemy of Israel at the time. I know they didn't have the communication that we have now, certainly. To me, that implies that they were familiar with Israel, familiar with the Israelites, and therefore would have been familiar with their God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how that played into the picture, that they perhaps had seen God being faithful to the Israelites and perhaps had even heard or known about some of the miraculous things that God had done for the Israelites that may have highlighted to them the power of God,
mm-hmm.
and enabled them to believe, because it says in verse 5, the Ninevites believed God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly the first step. What point would there be in repenting if they didn't believe? So I was guessing that it was their experience with hearing about the God of the Israelites that caused them to believe.
Yeah, I agree. What I'm about to say, I should preface by saying I'm not discounting what you said, because I think yours is actually first, that they understood and believed God. But I also think that it's worth saying, when we go forward as believers in the will of God, he gives us a blessing and uses us. I will say that God is God. And if Jonah had gone in sheepishly, that he would have still done what he needed to do in Nineveh. But I think that there's a partnership here between the human who God's using and God. You know, he uses people to reach people if we let him. Finally, Jonah let him. And I just wanted to highlight that partnership, because in some cases, there's a school of thought that Jonah also had a reputation as being the messenger of the Lord, and that if Jonah said it, it was really going to happen. I don't think there's enough in the text for us to biblically underscore that, but I think there's probably a partnership between the reputation of Jonah and the reputation of the God of Israel. We know that that's true of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, that their reputations preceded them, so that when they spoke, people were like, oh, well, this is a messenger of the Lord. We better straighten up. So that partnership has to exist. You have to believe in the messenger and believe in the Lord whom they are the messenger of. And I just thought that was worthy for us to pause on for a second, because we never know when we're going to be the messenger. I don't know what's going through Jonah's head, but I can tell you there's so many times in the course of what I'm trying to accomplish with this ministry that I'm like, ah, broken vessel. And so I think it's worth understanding that this is a partnership, that anytime God intends to use you, whether it's what we're doing right now or just a conversation. I had a really important and meaningful conversation over coffee with a friend yesterday who I hardly see, who's just like, I need to see you. and was really is going through some stuff, and I just talked to her. That matters as much as what we're doing right here. And each time, God will use me if I'm available. And it's God who's doing the work, and it's God who's changing the hearts, and it's God who is God. I don't have to fuss about my own shortcomings because the partnership is solid. Where I'm weak, he's strong. So let's talk about God's response to the Ninevites.
Okay, I'm going to read Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So that's Jonah 3, chapter 10.
Okay. So I actually realized that I asked this kind of twice. So I asked it here and then a couple questions later, but I was kind of going for two different things. So let's see if we can get there. We understand that there's a lot of patience. God was patient with Jonah when he was disobedient, and God has now shown patience for his people in Nineveh. What, on the surface, what do you learn about patience when you see how God responded to Jonah?
Well, that God is forgiving and compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Do you have more?
I agree with that. And to add to that, I also thought that being patient can change the end result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say more about that.
Well, I think that it's pretty clear that God had to be patient with Jonah. I mean, he went in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. He was pretty obstinate. God could easily have destroyed Jonah for his disobedience. He was blatant. He said, "I am not going." He went the other way. But instead, God was patient. Leanne, I liked the phrase you used, second chance, that God gave him a second chance. How many times do we wish we could have that to, you know, a do-over? Mm-hmm. By being patient with Jonah, that allowed that opportunity for Jonah to reach the Ninevites, and that changed the end result where all of those people were not destroyed.
Mm-hmm. What I think is important to look at in the book of Jonah is the back and forth between God's patience with a believer and his patience with the non-believers. And if you don't pay attention, that might get lost because you either would focus on Jonah and what a mess he was, and the Ninevites are secondary, or you would focus on the Ninevites and how, even though Jonah was disobedient, they were saved. But I think the best thing we can do is focus on the fact that God is showing in this book, by his extreme patience with both people groups, that he is patient both with believers and with non-believers. And I don't want that to get lost either, because are we patient with believers and non-believers? Do we have more patience for one group or the other? And that's what I want to come back to in a couple more questions, but let's just tease that right now. So when God responded to Jonah, he showed us an example of, look, he said he could use anybody. He could have used anybody. When Jonah walked away, he could have been like, fine, I'm using somebody else. What motivates God to do anything and then record it in his word is to teach us about his character. I love you. We're going to have days like this. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to, and I can still use you. You're not lost to me. And I still want to have a relationship with you. And the fruit of that relationship can be great. When you're ready, come back and we'll do something together. And I think that's a really important undercurrent as we read through Jonah. Yes, the Ninevites, we should pay attention to that. And we will in a few minutes talk about how we can learn to be patient with non-believers. But I think it's really important for this group to remember that God is really patient with us as believers too. Okay, so what I was trying to drive at with that question, which says, is God only patient with special people like prophets? Of course, the answer is no. Like, God's patient, God doesn't change. People change. Circumstances change, personalities change, but God does not change. So he is patient. He's patient with us. Our behavior, our shenanigans, our willfulness, our obstinance. That was a really good word, obstinate. Full stop, the end. So let's just talk a little bit more about, is there a place in your life where you felt like, from these two passages, can you think of a time when you felt like Jonah? And what I mean by that is, or perhaps a time when you felt like the Ninevites. So we talked, we were leading up to how Jonah was used and how the Ninevites repented. And we talked about the partnership between God and his messenger and all that's good. So can you think of a time, because I think it's really important for us to tell stories about how this really would look right now, because this is thousands and thousands of years ago. And I think there are some people who think God doesn't work that way anymore. And so let's talk, if you have any examples of how God can still do that today. Do you have any examples like that?
I thought about some years of my life when I could relate to the Ninevites. And, you know, everything is much clearer in hindsight. But there were years of my life when I behaved in ways that were not pleasing to the Lord. And this is sort of where I was thinking through what the Ninevites would have known about God. At that point in my life, I definitely knew of him. I was raised in a Christian household. I don't remember ever not knowing, but I'm not sure that I really knew him. And God was very patient with me over a number of years, bringing me messages of his word along the way through many different people. So the Ninevites were more who I could relate to.
That's pretty vulnerable. Thanks for saying that. Anything from you, Missy?
I certainly can relate to that as well, but I guess to offer a different perspective was the Jonah piece, where I know that that God's given me second chances, that he's been compassionate and patient with me and things that I've been reluctant to do or say when it's clear that that's what I should have done. So certainly in that respect.
There was a time, once upon a time, that I was working with a friend through infidelity. And she was really struggling with her marriage. And I was somewhat desperate to encourage her. And I say encourage is so totally the wrong word, but force her not to blow up her marriage. There, you know, it was over a period of time. It wasn't like a single conversation. It was like months. In my panic, when I didn't see her heart changing, I ramped it up. You know, this is not what God wants. I became very heavy-handed. God redeemed that. So let me say that. There were things I did that were wrong in that circumstance with the right heart, because I was scared. But because I was scared, you know, anytime we're driven by fear, we almost never make the right choices. Even though I was using the Bible and using my faith as the foundation for what I was trying to convince her of, and that's good, the way I was doing it was not good. And I wasn't making her feel loved, and I had to take a step back, because I could see, you can see when you're paying attention, that when what you're doing is not working. And in fact, you're driving them farther away. I really felt so convicted about that. And I really had a hard time forgiving myself. By the way, she's still married. It all worked out because of God, not because of me. I felt really convicted about that. Like, man, I could have really messed something up that mattered. If I had done, you know, God was bigger than me, as he always will be, and he's not going to let something happen that's not inside his will. But I just felt really convicted about how I'd handled that wrong. And lo and behold, 2 or 3 years after that happened, another couple actually confided in me about their marriage and how it was really going to come apart. And this is the upside down thing, that in that moment, I was so aware of what had happened last time. It felt like a second chance to do it the right way. And so I was really aware of doing it the right way. Every time I would see their caller ID come up, I would say a prayer. I'd say, God, guide my words. Don't let me say a single thing. I always erred on the side of shutting up before I said something, just because I can't tell you how painful it was for me to look back on that other experience and feel like I handled that wrong. And I care so deeply about those people. I could have really messed things up. And I don't know, I just really carried that with me for a while. And so it was a lesson that God really drove home. So I was really very intentional the second when God gave me that second chance. Now, the unfortunate situation is that was about 6 or 8 months that I was, and I would get calls from him and I would get calls from her, and I would pray with them and I would talk to them and we would talk about Bible verses. But more, I was asking questions like, tell me more about that. What do you think God thinks about that? And by the way, these are all Christians. So none of these are non-believers. And unfortunately, that second marriage did not survive. And I know it sounds selfish to look back and say, but I feel good about what I did. The marriage didn't survive. And one could say, if you had done it right, Holly, the marriage would have survived. But I don't believe that, because I don't believe in the space where I did it wrong and the marriage did survive. you know, God is the author, and what happened there had to happen there, I guess. And there are some things we'll never understand. But I learned from my first mistake and that second chance that I had, and every moment going forward, because you know what? We're women. We talk to other women. And a lot of times we talk about our marriages. If something's not right or if something feels off, we have an opportunity, a choice to say, oh, he's a dog, or to say, how can we find the good here? You know, Philippians 4:8, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, think on those things. From that point forward, it gave me an opportunity to be intentional. So that's one of my big handled it wrong, handled it right, seminal moments. And even though the result was sad for me the second time around, I have peace. Can you imagine how awful it would be if the marriage had broken up and I had handled it wrong again? I would totally feel responsible for that, which is wrong. And God was merciful with me. And he was like, okay, we now have a situation where two of my children need counsel and they're coming to you. Do it right this time. He had built that in me for a couple years. Like, do you ever have something that just holds on to you and won't let you go?
Yes.
Yep. And of course it was complicated. And I think that probably I should have been able to forgive myself. But I think there was also, now in hindsight, I realized that God was really working hard with me on that because he knew something was coming, that I needed to have that experience so deeply, like Jonah in the fish. Like, okay, if he had just fallen overboard, maybe that wouldn't have been as deep and searing an experience as actually being swallowed by the fish. So mm-hmm. God is the God of second chances. And oh my gosh, 500th chances. I've needed so many do-overs, so many, God, can we try that again? I messed that up. So I wanted to give an example from my real life that these things still do happen. Second chances still happen, and God can redeem all of it. If you're open to the second chance and you take it, that partnership we were talking about between God and his messenger can be a blessing to you. Like, I'm so sad that that marriage didn't survive, but that was a blessed time between me and God because I was very intimate with him. I've never had, like, I don't know what you call them, premonitions or whatever, but because of the intimacy in that circumstance, I hung up the phone with one of them and I had an overwhelming sense. This was before either one of them had made the decision to divorce. Eventually, the husband walked away. I hung up with him and he didn't say anything to me. He didn't say, you know what, I'm making a decision to leave. But God pressed that on my heart after I hung up with him. I knew he was leaving, maybe even before anybody else knew he was leaving, because God gave me that. And I just sat actually right in this room and I just wept. I just knew. I think that when we have this intimacy with God, we've all had moments like that. We call them God winks, or you might call them coincidences or whatever. But when you're in super intimate place with the Lord, he can show you things, that great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And as much as that was really bad news, it was a really special thing for me, for God to be like, this is what's going to happen. And let's just be sad about it for a minute, because I'm sad too. I know that sounds like a crazy intimacy, but I sat on this floor and I just wept for the marriage. I wept for the family. I wept for the children. And I just, like, wept with the Lord, because we were both bummed out, super bummed about this marriage falling apart. And so even though it was a sad and horrible experience, I have had less than a handful of experiences like that where I just knew that I knew that I knew that he was fully around me and fully in me in that moment. And what I was experiencing was an intimacy with him that is extremely rare for me. Would I have loved for it to be a mountaintop moment? Of course. And I've had moments like that, but this was a valley moment and he was just down there with me and he was sad and we wept together. When he gave me a second chance and I did it his way, I was blessed. And I guess another reason I share that is the outcome isn't necessarily the indicator of whether you did it right or whether you had intimacy with the Lord. The outcome is, as hard as it sounds for us, it's very circumstantial. It's very situational. It's a moment in time on the kingdom calendar.
Well, I think I just wanted to add to that. I think as Christians, we often, when things turn out well, we're often quick to give the credit to God, because we know there's no way we could have done it. But when things don't work out well, we somehow feel like we need to take that on our shoulders. And I I believe that's a mistake for the very reason that you said. Only God can do what God can do. We can't do it no matter how much we mess up or how well we do. So I think it's good to remember that we need to be obedient and leave the credit for the outcome to God, whether it's what we